When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
My dad still comes to the dugout with me, you know, almost every game just to keep the scorebook. He's been in the dugout with me for almost 20 years, so it does make me appreciate not only success we have on the field, but being able to share it with him and enjoy it with him and see how much fun he's still having doing it, and he's 77 now. Not many people get to spend that kind of time with their fathers doing something they both love.
And our guest this week is Bill Alvaro. He is one of the best high school baseball coaches in South Jersey. He just won his 500th game this past season, had a phenomenal season with Kingsway High School, led them to their first South Jersey title since 1992. And Bill, thanks so much for coming in studio.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So mention the success this season. As we're recording this, only about a week or so removed from the end of the season, have you had time to kind of decompress and process everything, how special it was, or is it still kind of, are you still in that, it's kind of a blur stage?
No, I've been processing a lot, you know. I mean, it's the season's a long season. It's 30 games. We played 30 games this year, but it's really short because we're compacted with time with all the things that go on in the high schools. But yeah, you know, we compressed it. We've talked a lot about it with the kids and coaches, and you know, it really was just an unbelievably special season.
Did you think this group was capable of a run like this going into the season, or did they exceed your expectations?
We thought we had a group that could contend for it. Obviously, did we think we'd get to the last game? I mean, that was our goal all year, but that usually is our goal every year. And when you finally accomplish that, I mean, it was really, really crazy.
I know you guys fell a little short in the state title game, but the phenomenal run, like, what were the range of emotions with the kids? Because I talk about processing for you. There's obviously the joy of winning South Jersey, mm-hmm. the anguish of losing the state title. But then after you kind of take that deep breath, there is that, wow, this was an incredible ride. Like, how long did it take the kids to kind of navigate that?
Not too long. I mean, I think they realized as it was going on just how special it really was. And we were lucky enough, we were the one seed. So we had the first four playoff games at home. And then after we won South Jersey, we also got the state semifinal home because we had the highest power points remain. So we got five home playoff games where the kids got to soak everything in front of our parents and fans and administration, teachers, and then go up to Rutgers and play in that atmosphere was just phenomenal. I think they did a great job of soaking everything in.
So that run, you win your 500th as a high school baseball coach. Like, where does this season fit in the hierarchy of your career? Like, was this one of the most, if not the most satisfying season you had?
It's way up there, I can tell you that. I mean, it was just crazy. We had a great coaching staff, and the kids really responded to everything we wanted them to do. And we had 11 seniors, and they were all just phenomenal. So, yeah, I would put it way up there.
So 11 seniors. How many are on the roster? How many do you guys carry usually?
I believe we carried 24.
So half your team basically is going to be has graduated,
yes,
going into next season. So not from a, you know, where you're going to be strong, where you're going to be weak, but like, how different is it going to look next year losing that much talent, that much leadership, and is the way you're going to approach next year is going to be any different than the way you approach other years?
Yeah, so we're going to replace six guys in the field in our lineup, which is going to be, you know, a lot. But most of those kids were here during this run and, you know, played a little bit here and there, but they were able to experience it, and they understand what it kind of took for these seniors to get over that hump. So we're going to rely on that. We're not going to change anything we do. We still have a bunch of pitchers coming back next year, so we still think we're in pretty good shape.
For people who aren't familiar, obviously baseball is a spring sport, but what is the calendar like for your team? Like, school starts in the fall. What are you doing with the players to that point? Do you have winter workouts? Is baseball, I know it's not like it used to be where a lot of kids play two, three sports, but I'm sure a few do. How does baseball mesh with the school calendar now?
So in New Jersey, we're not allowed to have any baseball contact once school starts in September. We can have workouts in the weight room. I mean, you know, we can recommend workouts in the weight room. We do work with indoor facilities. This way the kids have an opportunity to go work out in the winter if they don't have a place. So that's really it. And you know, we'll have meetings, make sure they have their physicals, all that stuff, all the paperwork stuff before we start tryouts. And that's in March.
So mentioned 500th win as a coach. Aside from all the other success, what does reaching a milestone like that mean to you?
You know, personally, I you never expect to be doing something this long to where you can reach a milestone like that. But when I look back at everything that I've had in my coaching career, I've had a lot of great, great coaches that I give a lot of responsibility and trust to. So they deserve a lot of that credit. And you're never going to get to a 500 win plateau unless you have great players. And we've been fortunate to have some great players and teams that buy into everything we teach. That's been the most rewarding part of it.
I'm curious, with milestones like that, like, you don't want to focus too much on them. And they're the types of things that realistically you get to a certain point where you're like, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of what it looks like. Does it become any kind of a burden's not the right word, but is there any like, let's get it over with so we can stop talking about it and move on? Does it kind of hover in the background, maybe a little uncomfortably at a certain point?
I don't think it was really uncomfortable. The kids knew about that. It was going to, I really appreciated that it happened with this group of kids. And I think they really wanted to get it for me. When we got to 499, we actually lost two in a row. And we were about a week away from playoffs and senior day was coming up. I was like, all right, we need to get this over with and start focusing on other things that we need to take care of. But they were awesome. The kids, you know, said it was something they really wanted to do for me.
So growing up, I know baseball was big. You went to Washington Township. Was baseball your main sport, or were you a jack of all trades like a lot of kids growing up?
Growing up, I played soccer, basketball, baseball. When I got to high school, it was just – I played basketball my freshman year. After that, it was just soccer and baseball. But that was it. When it was soccer season, I did soccer. And the wintertime, I got ready for baseball. And same thing with summer. And then when the summer started getting towards the end, then I would get ready for soccer again.
Was it your success in baseball that eventually elevated that to the top of the list?
It was my love for baseball. I mean, I love soccer. I love playing it. I think people should play more than one sport. I think you can get your muscles involved different ways. But my love of baseball was ever since I was a little kid.
What is it about the sport that you love? I don't mean success. I just mean distill it down to its purest form. What is it about baseball that just resonates with you so much?
Just going back to when I was little and the things my dad taught me about it. You know, he was a coach. He played in high school. He played a couple years in college at Glassboro State. But just his love and passion for the game, and then growing up and watching the purity of the sport, and just like watching the Phillies the last three nights, like, you have to get 27 outs and the game is not over and there's no clock. You know, I know they have a pitch clock now, but there's no end to the game until you get that 27th out. And in high school, we talk about 21 outs, and you never know what you're going to see. I go to games all the time, and almost every time I go to a game, I see something I've never seen before.
So you were a pitcher for the most part?
Yeah.
You went to Washington Township High School, mentioned that. When did you start to realize that baseball was going to be able to take you further than most?
Probably my junior year. I mean, I was getting recruited from some schools to do soccer and baseball. And then I grew a lot in between my junior and senior year. And then college has really just started wanting me to be a baseball player.
Scout yourself as a pitcher. What was your arsenal? What were your strengths?
Coming out of high school, I good velocity, really good changeup. I had to work on my curveball. When I got to college, curveball was still okay, but my pitching coach taught me a cut fastball. And that ended up being my bread and butter pitch in college. And I played some semi-pro in Washington Township in the Tri-County League until I was probably 33, and that was probably my best pitch. But I didn't walk people and put the ball in play when I needed to put the ball in play.
So college, you went to Louisiana Lafayette?
Yes. So I went to Campbell for 1 year and then left and went to Louisiana Lafayette, which now is just University of Louisiana.
What was the baseball experience like specifically at Louisiana Lafayette? Like, it's a lot different than South Jersey.
It was unbelievable. Down in Louisiana, I mean, college sports is king. You really, all you have down there is Saints. And other than that, then it's LSU and all the other sports. But baseball down in Louisiana is religion. You know, it's like Friday night football. Just the way that they treat it in the atmosphere. We'd get a couple thousand people every game, and you know, it was just a lot of fun.
What was the adjustment like going from high school to college? Did you feel like taking a huge step?
Oh, it was a big step. Biggest thing is, you know, you got your probably one or two best players on your high school team, and when you get to college, everybody on the college team was their high school's best player. You know, so that competition was tough.
When was the first time in college you felt like you kind of had arrived? That moment maybe when you were like, okay, I can do this.
I don't know if there was ever really a moment I figured I could do it. I didn't pitch a whole lot in college. I was more of a long inning guy. With the recruiting process, they, you know, they're bringing in starters every year. But I just enjoyed the whole moment. You know, the whole atmosphere, it was just a lot of fun.
When you think back, what are some of your favorite memories? Are there one or two games or moments that really jump out, or are most of your memories bus rides, clubhouse, stuff like that?
In college, I remember one night we had LSU come down and play us, and Ben McDonald was pitching against us, and Ben McDonald was the number one pick in the draft that year. And just being able to watch a guy like him go about his business and get ready for a game and then pitch in the game. He had a front row seat, basically, to a guy who was the number one pick in the draft. Was unbelievable. And again, in the state of Louisiana, when you're playing LSU, everybody shows out. So that place was packed. It was just unbelievable.
What was the change like, or adjustment, I should say, like socially for you going from, I know that he had that year at Campbell, but specifically, you know, going from South Jersey to Louisiana, how much different is life down there?
A lot different. You know, just the laid back atmosphere, the Cajun language itself was just different trying to get used. I think it took me 4 months to figure out what half of them were saying. But like I said, the food was a lot different. The music's a lot different. Everything down there was just a lot different. But I really enjoyed it.
How much did that experience help shape you into the person you are today?
I think a lot. Just taking the different people that I met down there, the players I played with, the coaches that I had coach me down there. I think I took a lot of that back up here with me.
Did you always figure you were going to coach, given your dad head coach?
No. I mean, I had the same dream every little leaguer has. And, you know, going in high school and college, I wanted to play in the pros. But I don't know what point it was that I realized, hey, this is not going to happen for me. I had a couple tryouts. It wasn't going to get signed. And I needed to do a career. I needed to have a career. And so I got into the teaching field. And the easiest way to stay in baseball was to do what my dad was doing, coach.
So you started coaching at Williamstown, right?
I came back. I coached 1 year at JV at West Effort. And then I went and helped my high school coach, John Bush, at Washington Township for a couple years. And then I got the head coaching job at Williamstown.
When you get that first head coaching job, did you feel ready, or was it a little overwhelming at first?
I felt I was ready. I did try to control everything that first year. And I had some great assistant coaches, the two Stillwell brothers, Frank Tercasio and Billy Hunt. And they said, look, you got to give us some responsibility. Give us some things to do. You can't do everything. And that was some of the best advice I ever got, because from that time on, I did that. I was able to delegate responsibilities. I realized I didn't have to control everything, and I had to trust the coaches that I was coaching with.
That giving up responsibility to the coaches, how difficult is it when you've played at a high level to give up the responsibility to the players, to the point where, you know, you're the pitcher, you've got the ball, everything, the clock's on you. You put everything in motion. But when you're a coach, you have to cede the control to the players. You guys can drill, you can practice, you can watch video, whatever. They got to do it. Was that difficult as a young coach to accept that, or did that kind of come hand in hand with allowing the assistant coaches to handle some of the responsibilities as well, or were they two different battles?
I think it still took a little bit of time, you know, to get to the point where, you know, where you're calling your bunt defense, or your first and third, or you're calling pitches, or you're giving signs offensively, and you have no control over it. Like, you can give all the signs you want, but the players have to execute. So that took a little bit of time. But then when you got to the point where you just trusted what you were teaching them and that they would execute.
How difficult is it with high school? You're getting kids come in 13, 14, 15. Their bodies are all over the place, growth spurt, stuff like that. How difficult is it to project? Like, you get a kid as a freshman, even if he's not playing, and you're like, all right, he's awkward, but he's strong, he's fast. I think once he becomes who he's going to become, he can do X, Y, and Z. Like, is that tough to do? And is it like anything else? The more you kind of work with the kids, you kind of get a feel for what kids are going to blossom and what their ceiling is?
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes kind of hand in hand there. Like, when you look at a young kid coming in as a freshman, and sometimes we've seen some of these kids, sometimes we haven't, we look more at their mechanics. If they have good mechanics, you know, you can project this kid can play here, play there. If they grow, this is where they can be. The one thing with boys is they are difficult because they all grow at different spots. Me and my brother, I didn't grow until my senior year. He didn't grow until after his senior year, until he was a freshman in college, and we're both 6'3", 6'4". So they're the kind of hard parts to project a little bit. But when you see the mechanics that they have, whether it's on the mound or fielding or hitting, you can recognize that, hey, this kid has an idea of what he's doing. You can see he's going to get in the weight room. He's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger. And then you just need time.
What is the hardest position to develop at the high school age? Is it pitchers? Is it finding guys you can count on to pitch?
Yeah, I think it's definitely pitching. Nowadays, a lot of it, you know, it's a lot of velocity. You know, they want to throw velocity and they lose control. And what I've seen is as they get older and they get stronger and they have more velocity, they try to max effort too much, where they lose control of the strike zone. And then they get to the point where they realize, all right, this is as hard as I'm going to throw. Now I have to get back to throwing strikes, putting the ball in play. You know, realizing that walks are not a good thing.
That's a baseball thing. That's not a high school baseball thing. Velocity is king. And velocity has always been important. But do you think the pendulum's going to swing back the other way where we're less worried about finding the guy that can throw 101 and more focus on maybe guys that don't throw as hard, but their stuff and their way they approach. And I don't want to say it's not important, but it just seems to me from the outside at all levels, there's so much of the foundation is on how hard can we get a guy to throw. Do you think we'll see it swing away from that?
I would like it to swing away from that. I go back to the days of watching Greg Maddux and those guys pitch. And, you know, they weren't throwing 100 miles an hour, but, man, they controlled the zone. They worked ahead in the count. With high school, you don't need as much velocity. You do need kids that know how to pitch. I'm not going to lie. It is nice when you have the kids with velocity. And when they do know how to pitch, it's even better. So we had a couple guys like that this year, and you saw the success we had. But I think there's too much emphasis still on the velocity. I don't know if that's ever going to change.
The other eight positions, what's the hardest to fill in general? Like, if you get a kid that is a really good blank, how key is that to success outside of your pitching staff?
I'm going to say catcher, because all eyes on he's the only guy that's not in fair territory, so everybody's looking at the catcher every pitch, you know, besides the pitcher. But, you know, he controls the game. You know, he's got to take care of the pitcher. You know, he's got to go out and talk to him when he needs to. He's got to control the running game. There's a lot of things catching can do. When you have a good, solid catcher, I think that's where you start after you start with pitcher.
When you're looking for a good catcher or looking into a good catcher, is it more mental than physical? I mean, there obviously has to be some physical tools, but because of everything you talked about, if you can find a kid that can check the boxes mentally, but maybe doesn't quite have the skill set, is that more important than if it's reversed? If a kid's just kind of a physical whiz, but just kind of struggles putting the pieces on the chessboard together, like, would you rather have that if you only can have one?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think the biggest box that we look to check at for a catcher is leadership. Kids, you know, he's almost like the quarterback on the field. To me, you know, that's huge. And you got a true leader behind the plate, and the kids look to him, they respect him. You know, he controls everything.
We need to take a break. We will have more with Bill Alvaro in just a few moments. But right now, I want to tell you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Proud sponsor of the KYW News Radio Studios. Bring on the fun and bring home a new Honda with a great deal on your favorite Honda vehicles. And finally, take that road trip you've been dreaming of. Now's the time to check out the Honda Civic and HR-V from Honda. The 2025 Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com.
best value brand. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with Kingsway Regional High School head baseball coach Bill Alvaro.
So you start at Williamstown. How many years do you feel it took you to really get your arms around being a head coach? And you talked about learning to delegate and stuff like that. But, you know, at what point would you say you started to really hit your stride, where you understood the assignment year in and year out of what you needed to do to be successful?
Probably after maybe the third year. And I tell a lot of new coaches and guys I've coached against, they're all coming up. I get to see these guys and I tell them, say, look, it's going to take you, 4 years to get your program the way that you would really like it. Because once you hit that 4 year mark, all those players that are in your program have played for you. And now they know what the expectations are and what should be going on.
So you spent time at Williamstown. Then you mentioned you had a little stint as an assistant at your alma mater, Washington Township. Then you take over as the head coach of Washington Township. I failed to ask you this earlier. When your high school playing days, what are some favorite memories from there?
I still have a lot of friends from growing up in those days. It was just a lot of fun. The coaches I had, the kids I played with, just the rivalries that we had, and the landscape of high school changed when we were in the Olympic Conference. There were other teams that aren't in the Olympic Conference anymore. So thinking back to those days, those were the most fun. Playing summer American Legion baseball, when we played American Legion, I think there was only 8 teams in the league, and we played everybody 4 or 5 times. So you got to know all the kids from Cherry Hill and Brooklawn and all those teams, the Medford teams that maybe you didn't play during the year.
When you take over at Washington Township, did you feel any extra pressure because it was your alma mater and you already had reputation, but you already had made a mark on the program as a player? Now you're coming back as the head coach. Did you feel it elevated the pressure on the job?
Probably a little bit, just because the status of Washington Township baseball when Mr. Bush was there was huge. They had won a couple sectional titles. They'd won a Diamond Classic. They were always contenders. They were always in the top 10, top 5 in South Jersey. So there was pressure to keep that going.
Now, did you teach the entire time that you've been coaching?
Yeah, I was teaching at Overbrook where my dad was, and then I got my teaching job at Washington Township, and that's how I ended up going back to Washington Township to coach.
So when you're coaching and teaching, and I'm sure you have some of your players that come through your classes, how do you approach that? Do you, I don't want to say treat them differently, but like, is there coach and teacher? Do you let the coach persona come into the classroom? Does the classroom persona come onto the field? Or is it impossible to separate because they're kind of two sides of the same coin?
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand. Whether I have them in class as students, I treat them the same as I do my other students. But when they're on the field, it's also a classroom. We're still teaching those kids. But it is fun. Like this year, I got to see a lot of our guys in the hallways. And, anytime they have any problems or anything, they know my door's open, they know where it's at, and they come and talk to us. So I think that's a big part of it.
Your coaching time at Washington Township, what are your favorite memories? You had a ton of success. You've had success everywhere, but you had a ton of success there. What are the things that come jumping back?
Obviously, we won our state title. We were preseason number one or number two. We had a lot of injuries that year in 2007 to where we barely qualified for the playoffs. We had to win on the last day. This is when you had to be .500 just to get in the playoffs. And once we all got healthy, we knew the team we had. We had a lot of 3-year starters on that team. And the run that we went on was unbelievable. So that one, I got to coach both my nephews, twin boys, and they had an unbelievable 4 years where we won a sectional title in one of them and a Diamond Classic in another. So those were probably my biggest highlights.
When you win that state title, you talk about kind of sliding in at the end of the season into the playoffs. At what point along that run did you kind of allow yourself to think, okay, we might do this? The way we're playing, the way things are laying out for us, was there a point, even if you didn't verbalize it to anyone else, but you thought, if we keep playing like this, we've got a good shot at doing this?
I think it was the very first game. When our pitcher went out there, we went to the number 3 seed, and he threw a 2-hitter, and he was in control through like a 65-pitch complete game shutout. I was like, I think we're going to be okay. And then the bats started going, and once that happened, we had the pitching and the hitting together. It was a lot of fun.
Was it more fun to win that state title? Or I should say more fun. Was the joy in the winning for you, or was the joy watching the kids win?
It was definitely watching them perform under the big stage, because, Washington Township's always had great teams, and we never quite won that. Winning a state title in Group 4 is really hard. And just being able to watch them get over that hump And we faced some tough times in that. In the state semis, we had to go extra innings. And then to come through in the extra innings, and it was just to watch the success they've had was awesome. Because it was a group of kids that we've known since they were like 12, 13 years old growing up. They all went to Bill Robinson Inkling. So we knew all these kids, and we knew what they could do. And it was just getting them all on the same page at the same time. And then watching that success was a lot of fun.
I talked earlier about like projecting kids because it's a tough age. Like, how often are you surprised, either in a positive or a, I don't want to say disappointing, but in the other way? Like, how often does a kid that you kind of maybe in your head thought, all right, he might be a guy that can help us as a reserve infielder, and a kid that blossoms into a star, and conversely, a kid that you have high hopes for that, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work out? Or for the most part, do you feel like you've got a pretty good idea of what a kid's going to be capable of, you know, within a little bit of range?
No, I think we get surprised every year. You know, we always get kids that exceed expectations or maybe what we think their expectations might be. And that's always a great joy in coaching as well. There's very few times that I think we've had kids that we projected more and didn't get enough from them. I think we've done a pretty good job of getting the most we can out of most of the kids we have.
Is watching the kids develop one of the most satisfying parts of the job? Obviously, you want to win, but seeing a kid where they go from a freshman to a senior?
Yeah, absolutely. And we follow them when they go to colleges, try to follow them when they're out of colleges, just those kind of connections. Right now, I coach a travel team, and I got hooked up when I'm with one of the dads, and I coached him at Washington Township in 2002, and they were looking for a coach. So staying in touch with as many guys as you can and keeping that baseball camaraderie alive.
Was that one of the – you talk about a kid you coach now coaching his kid. Like, that seems to me one of the kind of watershed things as a coach when you realize you've been doing it for a while when – oh, wait a minute. Your dad, I coached your dad, and I think I'm getting old. Like, what is that like to see that coming down the road?
Yeah, and we'll run coach, you know, I run some baseball camps over the summer with Coach Dixon. And we get a lot of the younger kids that come through that he knows their parents. I know their parents. Yeah, I mean, it does, you feel like you get a little bit old at times, but it also makes it fun. It's a good way for me to keep in touch with kids who played with me. And I like watching their kids play and grow. And then at some point, I'll be able to retire and go around and watch these kids.
So you're having success at Washington Township. What's the road that goes from Township to Kingsway?
I just needed a change. You know, I just needed a change, a step back for a year. I don't know if I was really ready to keep coaching. And then I was out that 1 year and realized, hey, this is still something I really do want to do. It was a new setting, new school. And a new group of kids that wanted to learn.
Was it hard to, I don't know, start, but you're starting over at a new school? Because I'm old, and one of the things I like least is doing anything new at this point in my life, whether it's going to a different supermarket or I'm very set in my ways. You know, starting at a new place, new kids, like on one hand, it's invigorating, but was it also tough at all?
I don't think so. I like I said, the kids were very receptive. And like I said, I like challenge. You know, to me, it was something new for me to try to do.
Do you feel, or how much do you think you've changed from when you've gotten the job at Williamstown to now as a coach? You know, you talked early on about learning to hand off responsibility, but overall, demeanor, approach to the game, do you think you've changed a lot, or do you think you're basically the same coach you were then?
I'm still as passionate as I was back then. I'm a lot calmer. I think the umpires will probably tell you that. You know, coaching nowadays is way different than it was in the late 90s and early 2000s. But the expectations and demands on the kids are still the same.
How is it so much different?
It's just, I'm not quite sure. It's just there's, you know, things you could say and do that nowadays or back then that you can't do now. You know, and then I realize I'm at the end of my teaching career and all that stuff. So I'm a little bit more laid back.
Talked about the, you know, dealing with kids in the classroom and at school. Is it difficult if a kid is struggling on the field or pushing your buttons on the field? Not that they're a bad kid, but it's just, and you have them in a class. Is it hard to not, or vice versa, is it hard to not carry one to the other and keep the slates clean and try not to let, or is it part of the job that it's going to overlap like that?
Yeah, I'm sure it overlaps sometimes, but I, you know, the classroom's different than the baseball field, you know, as far as, you know, if something happens on the baseball field, you can't take that into the classroom. And even if they're not in my class, you know, kids realize that whatever happens on the baseball field, you still have to go to school the next day, whether you have tests, quiz, You got to go home, do your homework. I mean, those expectations in the classroom never change.
What is your favorite part of the job overall as a baseball coach?
Just being able to keep putting on a uniform and going out on the field and play base. And I don't play, but watching kids play the game I love.
You mentioned you played the semi-pro. How long did you play that for?
Probably till the late 90s.
Did you pitch the whole time?
Yeah, till I was about 33, 34.
What made you stop? Was it a time thing where it was just becoming too much to do, or was it a physical thing?
More physical. You know, and it was get the younger kids a chance to play. They didn't need to see me go out there and pitch anymore. Yeah, it just kept getting harder because you're not keeping the same routine. You know, as once you get to that 30, 35 age, you got responsibilities now. You got jobs, kids. So it wasn't easy, but I did it as long as I could.
How important was that? Because a lot of guys, when they've played at a high level and then that's over, they can struggle to kind of find their identity. Obviously, coaching helped that. But how much did that semi-pro experience help to fill that for you and allow you to step away from playing kind of on your terms?
It was huge just because of the competition part of it. You know, you always wanted to go out and compete with your friends and against guys that you knew. So just to get those competitive juices still flowing was big.
Do you think playing for as long as you did like that alongside coaching for that part of your career, did it help make you a better coach? It keeps you grounded to the challenge of playing, and you, not that you never don't appreciate how hard it is, but still doing it, you know, it just keeps you close to the challenge, and you know how fragile it can be, especially as a pitcher. You know, the line between success and failure is very, very close.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely helped. One, it keeps that competitive, you know, going, the competitiveness in you going. And like I said, you know, being able to go on the field and compete, playing is different than going on the field and having the kids you're coaching compete. I think it helped both ways.
Is there a box you haven't checked yet as a coach, something you would like to accomplish or a milestone or anything? Like, you've done so much, you've had so much success, you've done it at multiple places. Like, and I don't mean to frame this like you're done, but I mean, is there like really a big mountain you'd like to climb? Obviously, you'd like to win another state title and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the only thing now. I mean, we want it now that we're at Kingsway, we want a South Jersey title. It's, you know, they've only been in Group 4 for maybe the last 13, 14 years. So that's something that's never been done. And there, I would like to see, you know, them continue to keep going. And I think we're in a good spot and challenge for a Diamond Classic title and get back to playing on that second Saturday in June for another state title.
Do you take time to appreciate the impact you've made on South Jersey baseball? I mean, you had the success as a player, but now three different spots, all kinds of wins, you know, only a handful of guys have won as many games as you have. And it's so concentrated in one area. Like, you're one of the top to ever do it in South Jersey. Like, does that resonate with
you? I've only stayed in Gloucester County. Yeah, I think, again, as the older I get, I do appreciate it more. My dad still comes to the dugout with me, you know, almost every game just to keep the scorebook. And just to have him there, I mean, he's – since 2007, so it's been together. He's been in the dugout with me for almost 20 years, so it does make me appreciate not only success we have on the field, but being able to share it with him and enjoy it with him and see how much fun he's still having doing it, and he's 77 now. You know, that's big. You know, not many people get to spend that kind of time with their fathers doing something they both love.
How much are you like him from a coaching standpoint?
I'd like to say I'm different, but I'm probably not. he was probably more fundamentally technical than I was, where I kind of let the kids play and then we'll talk about, you know, mistakes and things they might need to improve on, to where he was kind of a little bit more old school and things had to be done a certain way. So I think that might be the one big difference between us.
And when you're teaching, you teach math, is that
yes.
correct?
Yeah.
Analytics a big part of your baseball? Like, do you dive into that standpoint, or are you more,
no.
You don't?
I am not an analytics guy. I they got to pass the eye test for me. You know, I'm not a big – I go to the stadiums now. I don't know what half of the things mean anymore.
Ain't that the truth?
But I can see if guys get people out. I can see if guys can hit certain pitches.
Do analytics annoy you, or do you have an appreciation for them, but they're just not for me?
I do have an appreciation for them, and I understand where they come from. They're just not for me. I have one of the guys that I used to coach was a head coach for a while now, and he's now at Gloucester County helping them out, and he's a huge analytics guy. So we go back and forth with it, and I think there is a place for it in baseball. It's just not something I really rely on.
Final question. Somebody comes and plays against your team, watches your team, roots for your team, whatever. What is the one thing you hope they take away from a Bill Alvaro coach team?
Just that we play baseball the right way and we play hard. Play until the last out, whether we're winning by a lot, losing by a lot, or it's a tight game. Just the effort that our kids give every day.
Bill Alvaro, thanks so much for coming in. This was great.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this edition of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Kingsway Regional High School head baseball coach Bill Alvaro Jr. for being our guest this week and coming in studio to chat. Now, if you like the show and you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. It would really help us out. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next time when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.